Two eyes. Nasike. Two nostrils. Karnau. Two ears. Mukam. Mouth. Shishta. Genitals. Gudal. And rectum. Iti. Thus. Dvei. Two. Dvei. Two. Dvaro. Gates. Bahi. Outside. Yati. Goes. Yaha. One who. Tat. Through the gates. Indriya. By the senses. Tong mutaha. Accompanied. So translation, the eyes, nostrils, and ears are pairs of gates situated in one place. The mouth, genital, and rectum are also different gates, being placed into a body having these nine gates. The living entity acts externally in the material world and enjoys sense objects like form and taste. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki, Jai. Not being aware of his spiritual position, the living entity directed by the mind goes out through the nine gates to enjoy material objects. Because of long association with material objects, he forgets his real spiritual activities and is thus misled. The entire world is going on being misled by so-called leaders like scientists and philosophers who have no knowledge of the spirit soul. Thus the conditioned soul becomes more and more entangled. So, oops. Akshane nasike karna mukham shishna gudavati dway dway dwaro bahir yati Yastadindriya samyutaha. So, Om Gadati Vidandasya Vidanjana Shrakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, what we're hearing here is expert preaching being done by Narada Muni. One of the qualities of a pure devotee, last time we were talking about the quality of not wasting any time, is expert judge according to time, place, and circumstance. So, we have our philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which basically states, you're not the body. And anybody who's trying to enjoy their body, anybody's trying to enjoy anybody, they're creepiness. Miserly people in Maya. And also, they're like cows and asses, and all these nice words we have for people who are trying to enjoy the body, right? Swadi, Kalachati, Supoma, Ijati, Latir, the Buddhi, Shalin, the Karchit, Janesu, Abhigeshu, Saiva, Goka, you're like a cow or an ass. Anyway, so we have so many nice things to tell people who are in illusion. Like, you're in my. I remember there was one devotee who would quote these particular verses, like hogs, dogs, camels, swavidvarai, ostrakarai, samstuta, parashara, pushu, niyat karna pato peta, jatu nama garagraja. That's a verse from the Bhagavatam. It says, those who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, they're never interested in hearing about Krishna. So, he would quote this to people on Sankirtan. In other words, you go into someone and say, would you like a book? Well, you're like a hog, a dog, a camel and an ass. And the person said, oh, thank you very much for your kind words. So, but it's the truth. I mean, you can speak the truth and also be offensive. As Krishna the Gita says about the austerities of speech, he says, satchapriya hitam. One has to speak truthfully, but also pleasingly and beneficially. These are the three standards when we're speaking to someone. Of course, that verse also says regularly reciting the Vedic literatures, but as far as interacting with other people, pleasing, beneficial, and truthful. So these are the three standards we should always be thinking of. Because you can tell someone the truth, but be completely offensive. For example, let's say there's a very ugly lady in the street or something like that. And it's the absolute truth she's ugly. I mean, it's just like, it's not even relative, it's absolute. You know, there's relative truth and absolute truth. So, and you walk up to her and say, "Ma'am, you are ugly." Maybe a true statement, but it's also quite offensive. And it's not beneficial, because she'll never take up Krishna consciousness after hearing a devotee say such a thing like that. So you have to... Of course, you don't want to lie and say, "Ma'am, you are beautiful." But that wouldn't be a lie, because the soul is beautiful. Actually, Krishna said that to Kubja. He said, "Oh, my beautiful young girl." And she thought he was just teasing. But Krishna said no, and he picked her cheeks up after she gave him a sandalwood pulp and made her very beautiful. So anyway, so the point is, when preaching, of course this word preaching has a sort of like a negative connotation to it, at least in America. It means that someone's standing up and yelling at someone else. Actually, that's the connotation. I don't know about here. When you say, "He's a preacher," you think of someone standing up and telling everybody they're going to hell unless they accept Jesus Christ. You have that here or no?
Same here.
Same here. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Even if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're still going to hell. That's what we mean. Usually the implicit meaning of preacher. So we say sharing Krishna consciousness. So when you're sharing Krishna consciousness, you have to be aware of who you're talking to, what state of mind they're in, where you're talking to them, who else is around. It requires some discrimination, like Srila Prabhupada had. So there's some examples I'd like to give about Prabhupada, who was so expert. Sometimes he would really, what we say, give people the sauce. That means the hot sauce. Hot sauce means like the direct preaching. And sometimes he would be just very careful about it. And of course, Narada Muni, that's what he's doing right here, because he's preaching to King Prachinibari. And he can't tell the king, "You're in Maya, my dear king." So instead, he tells him, "I'm going to tell you a story. Once there was a king, O king." Just like you, but it's not you, don't worry. So that's a nice way to preach to people. Once there was the Brahmachari, or Brahmachari. I'll tell you a story about it. And so the interesting thing is that the Bhagavatam is full of these stories, and the Bhagavatam is considered to be the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And the Vedanta Sutra doesn't have stories. Vedanta Sutra is just like in codes. In other words, atato brahma jigyasa. You have to look for the absolute truth. Okay, where am I going to look for him? In Slovenia or Hawaii? You know, better look in Hawaii. It's better weather there. It's like yesterday, someone asked me, "Why do the devotees open up a temple in Hawaii?" I said, "Because it's nice weather." Not because... Oh, I guess they had some compassion. I don't want to criticize Vaishnavas. So you have the... and then the Vedanta Sutra says the absolute truth is that from which everything comes. I mean, these are two of the statements in the Vedanta Sutra. I mean, there's... Which is quite interesting for those who are philosophically inclined. But you really need some stories to help you understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Even if you're going to present something in a political sphere, let's say on the GBC, not that we're politicians, but when we present something, we actually tell a story to illustrate the importance of a particular proposal or resolution. You know, scenario, story. So, anyway, so Narada Muni is doing that. He's saying, you know, it's just a king, there's tell you the story of Paranjana. Paranjana, of course, means basically every man enjoying within the body. He's going all these different gates, which are the apertures of the body, you know, the tongue, the mouth, the ears, the rectum, the nose, and all those other things. And so eventually, someone understands when he hears the stories, it's just like me. And then he does something about it. So, as I was mentioning before, I want to tell you some stories about Prabhupada, how he is an expert judge of time, place, and circumstances. Sometimes he really gives the hot sauce, which means the chili pepper preaching. You know chili peppers? You have chili hot pepper preaching. And he just... And sometimes it's just very soft. So, there's an interesting story. Prabhupada was visiting Paris. And I guess I'll tell the whole story. Before Prabhupada went to Paris, he was about 2 hours from arrival at the airport. And so the devotees were waiting for him, and they were waiting for him with garlands and cartels and everything like that. But 2 hours before Prabhupada was supposed to arrive, the Indian ambassador, that means the ambassador from India, to France, was arriving. And the French government had not made any arrangement for his reception, which is an insult. Because when an ambassador comes, you're supposed to receive him. At least the government of which you're in is supposed to make the arrangement. So there was only one government official there. So that government official saw the devotees and said to the devotees, "Oh, Hare Krishna." Even though in France they don't like the devotees very much, usually the government. They said, "Can you receive this diplomat?" And the devotee said, "Sure, you know, we can give him a garland or two. We have some extra garlands." So they received the Indian ambassador with a kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It was very nice. And the Indian ambassador was very pleased because he was received in the style in which he was accustomed to be received. You know, basically in France, they don't know how to receive people from India. I'm not going to say why. But anyway, they don't. So they was very pleased, and the French government was very pleased. The devotees had helped, and the official from the French government said to Prabhupada, not to Prabhupada, to the devotees, that what can we do for you? And the devotees said, "Well, you should arrange a formal reception for Srila Prabhupada when he comes to Paris, and you can arrange a formal reception in the government buildings." And they said, "We'll try that." Okay. And so then 2 hours later, Prabhupada comes, and this official arranged a very nice formal reception with the mayor of Paris for Prabhupada. You can read about that. It's in the database and everything like that. So anyway, so Prabhupada comes to this reception a day or two later, in which they're going to give him the key to the city. You know, do they do that here? They give someone a key to the city? If they're a very elevated personality. So they were going to... So in this reception, the people in France, of course, they dress very fancy all the time, and they're very formal. Not like Slovenia. In Slovenia, everyone's informal. Just like, you know, one time I went to see Dvorchnik, and he was very informal. You know, it's just like anybody else. But here in France, they always have the ties and the jackets, and there's all sorts of etiquette and everything like that. And so the etiquette is, when the mayor walks in, everyone stands up. You know, it doesn't salute, but they stand up and they pay obeisances. No, they don't pay obeisances, but anyway, they pay respects. So what happened is the mayor walked in, everyone stood up, except for Prabhupada. And the mayor began to address Prabhupada, and everyone was looking to Prabhupada, when is he going to stand up? And then what happened is one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, "We're supposed to stand up, Prabhupada." The person said, "I'm not going to stand up for him." So Prabhupada was communicating even something by his body language. You know, Prabhupada's in a far superior position. You only stand up when someone superior to you comes in. Or out of friendship, you can do that too. But someone superior to you comes in, then you, like, let's say right now I'm sitting down giving Bhagavatam class, if Prabhupada were to walk in the door, if I didn't stand up, guess what would happen? It'd be a big offense. Like when Balaram walked in, and Ramaharshana Sutta was actually giving Bhagavatam class, guess what? Then Ramaharshana Sutta didn't stand up and receive Balaram, and Balaram killed him. That's a good lesson in etiquette, isn't it? All right, pay obeisance, Prabhu, or I'm going to kill you. That's quite interesting. Anyway, so Prabhupada didn't stand up, so he was actually sending a message, preaching by that not standing up, that you're in a lower position. Of course, Prabhupada was also older, too. Prabhupada many times said that he could say things and do things because externally he was older. I mean, that's another point, too. Then when you're older than someone, you know, people will tolerate a lot. You know, unfortunately, I experienced that too. Because it's an interesting thing. When you get old, you don't think you're old. That proves that we're not the body. You know, I'm sitting here talking to all of you, and I'm just thinking basically, you know, we're all the same age. But spiritually it's true, but physically, no way. No way, you know. So Prabhupada sat there, okay. And then the mayor was addressing him. Dear Bhaktivedanta Swami, we're very happy. Paris is a very spiritual city. And then he was nice to Prabhupada. You know, he was very, very nice, hospitable and everything. And then it came Prabhupada's turn to respond. And so Prabhupada, at that point, he stood up and he began to address the mayor and the congregation there. And he basically said, unless the government is teaching you're not the body, it's just a bunch of animals. I said, wow! And the devotees were going, oh my God. What is Prabhupada saying? And then Prabhupada just continued in the same vein. And then everyone was, they were shocked. They were shocked, but in that case it required direct preaching. But then later on, they had some informal type of aspect of the reception. There's actually a nice video of that. Has anyone seen that video? That's in the Prabhupada Memory Series. Has anyone here watched that Prabhupada Memory Series? It's very wonderful. All these different DVDs. I try to watch it every day. I have it on my computer. So, but then Prabhupada just like mingled with them. In other words, it was almost like, I don't know if you've ever seen a cocktail party where people are walking around with their plate of food, you know. Of course, usually it's abominable food. But in this case, the devotees catered. They brought the prasadam. So Prabhupada was walking around with his plate of prasadam and eating and talking informally to people. So I was just thinking, you know, how Prabhupada one point took a formal position, another point informal position. Very, very interesting. And then Prabhupada, more stories about Prabhupada preaching in Paris. Then Prabhupada was speaking to a person who had opened up the first natural health food store in Paris many, many years ago. And the devotees brought this person to see Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada was basically talking to him about natural, healthy, unpolluted food. And then Prabhupada said to this gentleman that when we have a farm here, we can bring our food to for you to sell, you know, milk products and everything like that for you to sell in the store. And the man said, but it'll be polluted. And Prabhupada said, why would it be polluted? And the man said, because because the air and the water are polluted. You know, how can you avoid it? And Prabhupada said, yes, everything in the material world is polluted, but when you offer it to Krishna, then it actually becomes pure. and unpolluted. So in this way, he was having a very informal discussion, but then added Krishna consciousness at the end to it. Another time someone came to see Prabhupada, this time it was a psychiatrist, and the devotees had not really told the man why Prabhupada wanted to speak to him. They thought, that is, the psychiatrist thought, that he was coming to see a patient. Because, you know, actually the devotees went to the psychiatrist and said, can you come and see our spiritual master? So naturally, if you tell a psychiatrist that, he's going to be thinking, for what purpose, you know, to analyze him. So there's a big psychiatrist who comes with his tie and jacket to see Prabhupada. And he's with Prabhupada. He's thinking, what's wrong with him? I mean, and then he left, you know, real quickly because he thought he was going to see a patient. But Prabhupada still preached to him. And then another instance is Prabhupada saw this Cardinal Danilu. And that's famous too. He had a conversation with this Cardinal Danilu, who later left his body in an auspicious way. But anyway, and then Prabhupada just like very directly preached to him about, after some initial, you know, nice words, how are you, you know, we believe in God, I guess it's very nice you believe in God too. He started to ask him about, why do you eat meat? When Jesus said, thou shalt not kill. And he just continued on that, you know, just like, like Prabhupada said, that's how you defeat someone, if you really want to defeat someone. You just press on their weak, you find their weak point, you keep pressing on it. Of course, generally, we aren't really interested in defeating people, because if we defeat people, they get discouraged, unhappy, and run away. Prabhupada said, if you defeat and argue with the Christians, they maybe just become atheists if you defeat their philosophy, because they have some faith. So why destroy what little faith? Like Krishna says in the Gita, you know, we should encourage people, even if they're attached to the material world, to work in devotion. So generally that should be our preaching. Another point is that when Prabhupada was preaching like that, he was also preaching for the devotee's sake at the same time. So there's certain times you'll be preaching to someone, let's say privately, and it'll be different than when you're preaching to someone when you have like 30 disciples around you. You know, because Prabhupada is preaching to teach us, he's understanding that this preaching, this video, this recording is going to be used by devotees to listen to for the next few hundred years at least. So Prabhupada also understood that factor too. So anyway, he was very heavy with this Cardinal Danilu, and the Cardinal Danilu was basically shaking like that, like he had Parkinson's disease, you know, throughout the whole thing. He said, but animals have no souls. And Prabhupada like smashed him with that, you know, animals have no souls. He said, just like if you, Prabhupada used the example that if you have two children, and one child is not as intelligent as the other, for some reason, would you kill him because he's not as intelligent? Obviously not. So God has all these children because we're all God's children. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmane vanu pashati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatalo navigyushate. We're all God's children. So God has these children, and so because an animal is less intelligent than a human being, does that mean you kill one of God's children? Horrible logic. And so, anyway, so Prabhupada was preaching directly like that. So we see, the point I'm making is that Prabhupada is an expert judge according to time, place, and circumstance, and the point is that we should become expert judges according to time, place, and circumstance. Don't imitate Prabhupada, but understand what is the best way to bring that person to Krishna consciousness. Even if it means giving them a little Krishna conscious sense gratification. Like Prabhupada, of course, did that with us in the early days of the movement. On Ekadasi, which is supposed to be a day of austerity, Prabhupada would have us make Ekadasi feasts for the devotees. I mean, it was actually more opulent than other days. There was more ghee, In those days we used to take ghee. Like Charvaka Bhuti says, beg, borrow, steal, get yourself some ghee. And so there was more ghee, there was more sugar. I mean, it was great. Sense gratification wise. Anakadasi. So, but Prabhupada and Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur said, if you want to keep a devotee, you have to give them rice with ghee on them, on it. One of the things that attracted many of us to join the Krishna conscious movement was prasadam with ghee on it. I don't know if you use ghee anymore. It's gotten more expensive. But I remember the first time I ate a cauliflower pakora with cooked in ghee. It was just like, wow, what's this? I want to join that movement. Because Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur told a story about a man who couldn't keep any servants. And then his friend said, if you want to keep your servants, because the man mistreated his servants, he was nasty to them, demanding. So his friend said, if you want to keep the servants, you got to feed them like, he called them balam rice, but actually it's like basmati rice with ghee on it. And feed him that for 2 weeks, he'll never leave. So he fed him that for 2 weeks and the man was able to keep his servants. So in the same way, we have to present Krishna consciousness, give people sometimes a Krishna conscious sense gratification. Like Prabhupada even said, we should tell the young men who want to join the movement, of course I'm not going to do that. He said, we can find you a nice, beautiful wife. Some say, oh, join the movement because of that. Anyway, from a sannyasi's perspective, that would make me run away. The other direction. But, you know, you have to understand who you're preaching to. You know, what their mentality is, what their psychophysical nature is. All those things have to be understood if you want to make people Krishna conscious. And then you have to adapt. Society changes too. So you have to adapt your method of preaching. Be very much alert as to the methods of communication in society. Just like we were talking last night, Devaladev, about different things on the internet that the young people are using now to organize programs. If we want to bring people to the movement or bring people to some program. Like there was this one thing on the internet called Meetup. You've heard of Meetup? I think Prem has heard of Meetup because we use it in America. And you put something out and people look at it and they go, wow. And then you end up with like 500 people at your program. Actually, there was one person, interesting news report. It was not about Hare Krishna, but it just shows the efficacy of some of the media that people are using. One man decided to surprise, it was his marriage, he decided to surprise his wife to have like thousands of people at their marriage. So he did something like that on the internet. And thousands of people showed up because he didn't have food for everyone, which is good because it was all boga. But so we're aware of society, aware of the media, aware of people's psychology. Then we could make inroads, like, and Prabhupada said, preaching means in like a pin, out like a plow. In other words, you give people, you package Krishna consciousness. Another same problem is this old wine in new bottles. You package Krishna consciousness in such a way that people will readily accept it. And then eventually they'll accept 100%. And eventually they'll become detached from their bodies. Not right away. We have to be patient with people, and eventually they'll be pure devotees. It just takes time. Bahunam janmanamante sometimes. Right? After many births and deaths, or it's very rare. Vasudeva Sarvaniti Sa Mahatma Sudurvala. So we have to start people on the path. So anyway, so any questions or comments? Because it says up there, it says down here. So I'm just serving Ananta. So, yeah.
You were speaking about the different kind of way of preaching to people, to different kinds of people.
Yeah.
So there are more direct ways and more indirect ways.
Depending on the person and circumstance. Right.
But it's possible to do one way only or the other way, or how one should choose only according to
circumstance.
It also very much depends, I think, on the person itself who is preaching. Would that also be the case? Could it perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, someone. It depends, but Prabhupada wanted us to be adaptable like that. And Prabhupada was extremely adaptable. I mean, Prabhupada said about chanting Hare Krishna, stay high forever. You know what that meant in the 1960s? That meant someone was taking drugs and staying, and Prabhupada was using a drug expression to preach Krishna consciousness. Because staying high meant, getting high meant, you know, like the hippies, you know, they would drop LSD or whatever they took, and they would look at each other and say, are you high yet? I said, yeah, I'm just getting off, like taking off or something like that. And so Prabhupada was saying, you'd stay high forever. You know, so Prabhupada would, it depends, yes, on the person, certain. But if we have faith in Krishna, then we can look beyond some of the externals. You know, there are externals that are not absolute things that we do. I mean, there are many. I mean, just like the style of dress we have, it's not an absolute thing. It's not Siddhanta. You know, Siddhanta means chanting Hare Krishna, you're not the body, you're part and parcel of Krishna. All those other things are Siddhanta. But the style of dress is not Siddhanta. You know, even, of course, I mean, the devotees in the Krishna conscious movement are clean shaven, because that's Prabhupada's order. But that's not Siddhanta. That's the order of the spiritual master, which we follow gladly. I'm not saying we should walk around with beards on. You know. But the point is, we have to be able to distinguish between Siddhanta and something that's more relative, according to time, place, and circumstance, and be able to, utility is the principle, as Srila Prabhupada said, be able to understand these things. And a mature devotee can do that. A mature devotee is not attached to the external things. But if you're not that mature, I mean, if you really need the external things, fine, we understand that, be honest. But if someone is mature, like Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he was so mature in devotional service that he said in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita that when one goes to another religion and sees them worshiping God, he appreciates. He thinks they're just doing it a different way, that's all. And there's like sometimes, once I went into a black church in America, and I went there and sat through the service, and they were all wondering what I was doing there, because I looked different than everybody else. And they almost had a heart attack, you know, what is that white guy doing there? So anyway, but I appreciate it. It was beautiful. The music was beautiful. There was chanting to God. And, you know, I appreciate it. They're worshiping God in a different way. That's maturity. Immaturity means, you know, we're sectarian. We're the best. And they're all in Maya. I mean, Prabhupada said if we were in charge of the government, we would make sure that people were following their particular religion. It's not that we would force everybody at gunpoint, you know. Of course, Prabhupada joked one time, you know, we point a gun and say, chant Hare Krishna, we shoot you. But that's not true. That's not what Prabhupada indicated. He was joking about that. But so we let people follow their own religion, as long as they follow their own religion. Thou shalt not kill, and things like that. So yeah, you have to be mature enough to be able to do that. The essence is chanting Hare Krishna and Bhagavad Gita philosophy. Great. And you can use different types of music. You can use a guitar. You can use a flute. Of course, Krishna uses a flute. You can use practically any type of instrument. Just present the holy names. Yeah.
One more thing, the connection with this is that recently with Prophet Sadhguru, who gave us a speech about education and
preaching.
And a person stressed that it's very important that the one who's preaching or the lecturer is talking about something that he realized.
Yes. Yes, you can only preach. Prabhupada said you should only preach on the level of what you realize.
So that's also the connection with when somebody goes out and preaches.
Of course, so someone shouldn't say, "I don't realize anything." The only thing I realize is prasadam tastes good. I mean, there's different levels of realization. I mean, for example, we can preach, "You're not the body." And very few of us realize we're not the body, right? But at least we've realized that, have the faith in Krishna, that Krishna's words are true. At least that realization is there. So in other words, it's not that you require complete realization to preach something. Otherwise, none of us would be preaching anything. Can you imagine? Because, how many of you realize 100% that you're not the body? Anyone here? Raise your hand. Especially when it's cold. I don't know. But I think I am the body. Anyway, I am cold. So then we can't even preach ABC. Right? Because we haven't realized it. But at least I realize that Prabhupada's a pure devotee. What Prabhupada says is true. Bhagavad Gita is the song of God. Krishna states that I have absolute faith in Krishna's words. So that's my realization. So therefore, you can preach a lot more than you personally completely realize. Does everyone understand that point? Otherwise, we'd be quite limited. Otherwise, we'd be going out in Sankirtan and say, "Book, good, take." Can you imagine that? Or, "Food, good, eat." It'd be ridiculous. Yasya devi parabhakti yudhati vittadakuru tashayate kartita prakashante vahamana. One who has faith in the spiritual master, faith in the Vedic literatures, then he basically has realization. That's the point. So then you can preach anything almost. If you have faith in the word, you're repeating the words of the bona fide spiritual master. Such an interesting point. But just preach according to your realization, and if you realize that Prabhupada's a pure devotee, you can preach anything. How does that sound? That's interesting. I never thought about that before. Anyway, so what's another question?
Yeah, just in continuation with this is also there, perhaps all the preachers are not maybe on the level of prema and they're not pure devotees.
Yeah, that's true.
And what in connection with this, because they are following rules and regulations to say so, and sometimes they might have some difficulty, some part of their life or something, and it might be difficult for them to preach, or because they are not like pure devotees or something, there may be handicaps with their preaching. It might, from side of devotees, they may see this lackage of their qualification.
The main thing is faith. As I mentioned before, yasya devi parabhakti yudhati vittadakuru tashayate kartita yartha prakashante vahamana. The main thing is they have faith that Prabhupada, and they're just preaching the Siddhanta, they're not changing the Siddhanta. It's important to understand that someone who doesn't have faith and doesn't even believe in Krishna, they will have adverse effects on people. I mean, I was just reading in the Jivadharma, which is actually, Jivadharma is such a wonderful book. It's a complete exposition of everything in bhakti in a story form. And so it was said that if we go to a performance of kirtan and it's being led by someone who's not a devotee, our bhakti is spoiled completely. I mean, very heavy. So So in other words, you have to be careful. I mean, devotees, sometimes they're attracted to people leading kirtan and doing CDs, chanting Hare Krishna in a very melodious way. But it spoils the bhakti, destroys the creeper, chokes the creeper off. So, but if someone has faith in Krishna, then he's able to preach. I mean, that's the difference basically between a Madhyamadhikari and a Kanishtha. A Kanishtha does not have faith. He has faith in the deities, worships the deities, doesn't understand that Krishna is in everyone's heart, really doesn't understand Krishna. He's an almost devotee, a Vaishnava prior. But a Madhyamadhikari has that faith. And a Madhyamadhikari may have trouble from time to time. It's not to say that a Madhyamadhikari is aloof from the material energy, but he has that firm faith. He may not know Shastra completely, but he has that firm faith. So I think faith is the essential point. And as Krishna says, if one doesn't have faith, Shraddhanana Purusha Dharma Shasha Paramtapa Aparapyamam Nivartante Mruju Samsara Vartani. One doesn't have faith, then there's no hope for him. So faith, if you trust, and then Shraddha Shabde Vishasa Kehi Sudrita Nishya. If you trust simply by doing what Krishna wants, everything will be accomplished. Then ultimately you'll be successful in Krishna consciousness. I probably one time asked the devotees, said, do any of you actually believe that Krishna is God? And we have to ask ourselves that question, what is our faith? And in the Bible it says, if you have faith, you can move mountains. It's an interesting statement. Because if you have faith, you believe in something and you put your attention to it. And as one of my godbrothers would often say, where attention goes, energy flows. You ever hear that statement? Vaisheshika, he gave that quote in regard to book distribution. Where attention goes, energy flows. So if you have faith, you put attention to it. And then you'll naturally follow. So yes. So if someone has faith, then they can preach. And that's realization. Not absolute realization, but at least it's a foundational realization. Interesting point. So, yes.
I have a question and a comment regarding this, because I listened to Srila Prabhupada lecture where he said that anyone can be a guru and preach Krishna consciousness as long as he has faith, and if he has a faith, he will have enthusiasm, and enthusiasm is essential, because you will be like, if you have a faith, then you will with enthusiasm said, oh, my Lord Krishna is so wonderful, and that's how, even though if you don't know much, you can just tell according to your faith and enthusiasm, actually, you can preach to somebody and express your...
Because you have faith.
Yeah, and my question is, you said that we should be like very patient with people regarding preaching. So I'm wondering to which extent, because I noticed some people for example, associated with me, and they are kind of curious, but I know that their motives are not to actually join ISKCON or to be so... To what extent I should like really give them a comment, because it's not that always I can... Because I know that they will not.
Yeah, if they will not, you just keep your friendship up with them, but don't spend so much time.
Not so much time.
I mean, one has to be aware of wasting time. You have to use your time in a way that you're most productive. Like that, of course, it's one of the offenses on chanting to preach the glories of the Lord to those who are faithless. So you have to be real careful. Like if you go too far and you preach to people, then it'll drive them away and you're committing the offense on chanting. So just at a certain point, just keep an official relationship with someone there. They'll only go... Sometimes people will only go so far in this lifetime. And you just have to realize that. So Krishna consciousness is a multi-life experience. And, especially, if someone like myself dealing with disciples, you just realize that, that's as far as they're going. you'll encourage them to go more, but you know, you can't really push them. It's better to pull them. Pull them means, you know, make it attractive. You know, come, come, come. Instead of, get out. Get going. I remember we had one devotee, he used to work with oxen. You know what oxen are? Oxen. Like brahmachari bulls. So. Bulls that decide never to get married. So anyway, so. So he would just like beat them to get them going. And then they would just pass stool, you know, the diarrhea, you know, because they would get sick by being mistreated like that. And then they would get more and more stubborn. Like I say, stubborn as an ox. So, and then other people would teach them lovingly. So sometimes people are like oxen. You know, they're stubborn. But we have to treat people lovingly. I mean, what are people looking for? You know, they're looking for loving relationships. So if we extend that, if we socially network with people, then they'll join. I mean, just like one thing I've seen recently, when you're bringing people to Krishna consciousness, let's say you want to bring a lot of people to your program or something like that, you find one person and that person has friends, and that each one of those friends has other friends. You just network and you've got a lot of people coming. People usually come in groups anyway. At least in America, I don't know if it's that case to you. You know, someone will come with their friends. Usually people don't come alone unless they're loners. They come in groups, and just like in our program, our Krishna West program, we have, there was one young girl who's coming. She's actually become a devotee and everything like that. Very nice girl. And then she has all these friends, and then she just invites them, and I was just taking them on a japa walk the other day. It's just one person. Or like Prabhupada said, that one sandalwood tree in a forest makes the whole forest fragrant. So Prabhupada preached to one person in Russia, and then the whole movement started from that one person. Okay, I think we have to end because we've actually violated our terms. It says 8:45 and now it's 9 o'clock, so we get penalized if... get a fine, no prasadam this morning. So. Okay, on a happy note, all glory is due is divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.